At Quite the Thing Media, we aim to bring you the best podcasts produced by independent creators, made without constraints.
Podcast Father here. Join me on my journey as I start out as the indie podcaster.
You've been searching for a podcast. Want to know about some great artist? Yeah. You've come to the right place. Indie Podcaster with your host, the Podcast Father.
Another week, another episode of Indie Podcaster. I'm your host, Jeff, aka the Podcast Father. Mike Zago from The Link, a podcast with Mike Zago, joins me once again.
Back again. What is up, everybody?
He still is not running his air conditioner.
No, it's hot. It's really hot. It's very hot.
Are you getting a little bit shaky now? Do you have plenty of water?
I'm schwitzing, but I have water and, you know, nobody will see me. It's fine. I sound great. So there's that.
Sound damn good. Hey, Mike's got a podcast too. Make sure you check it out. Tell them where they can find it. It's Nickelodeon.com, right?
Yeah. /The Link_podcast. Nickelodeon.com. That's where exactly where you can find it. And on social, it's @The Link_podcast. But the Nick thing, big deal.
You just talk about any and everything, basically.
I like to follow artists. We talked about how you consider podcasters artists. Mm-hmm. And so I liked any art form, whether it's drawing or movies or writing or anything. All that creative process is really just interesting to me.
With that being said, you are definitely interested with who we are going to highlight today.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Asquith. Talk about creative. Interesting. He's got a little bit of everything. He's called That British Podcast Guy. He's the CEO and co-founder of Captivate FM, Rebel Base Media, and he's got a podcast, The Podcast Accelerator. Mark is what I consider a podcast guru.
He is the British podcast guy. I can't wait for this one because I have so many questions. Like, podcasting is an interesting format because all podcasters have and share such interesting opinions about podcasts on their podcasts. But you don't listen to music and the song isn't about how the bassist came up with the bass line generally. You know what I mean? Like, you don't watch a movie and they tell you how they came up with the script. But podcasts kind of do that. It's this behind the scenes thing. And it's really fascinating to me.
And there's no better person to hear it from than Mark. Captivate FM, we're using that for this podcast, and it's actually incredible. Mm-hmm. It's a great platform that I come across from him, actually, meeting him on Twitter, and I'm so glad I got involved in it. It is incredible, man. And I will talk about more about that when we get into the business. Do you have anything else, Mike, before we dive into this interview?
I'm just excited for this one. Let's get it going.
Yeah, if you're a podcaster or a person that has interest in creativity and even the business aspect of things, this one you want to hear. But before we get to it, let's take care of that little bit of business I spoke about. Myself and this podcast are proud members of Quite the Thing Media. Make sure you're checking out Quite the Thing Media. Go to quitethethingmedia.com. If you want to go to my personal site, it's actually at Quite the Thing Media, quitethethingmedia.com/podcastfather. There you can request to be on this podcast as a guest. Also, a review from me on site. Make sure you're checking out all the great original podcasts on site and the independent creators on site. QuiteTheThingMedia.com. Couldn't do this podcast without the hosting platform, Captivate FM. Captivate FM is great, guys. I can't tell you how great it is. I could talk about it all day, but I will tell you one thing. For me, as a new podcaster, it's amazing. There's all sorts of tools, growth labs, etc. The team is so hands-on at Captivate FM, they will help you through your journey. The interface and the features are amazing. You got to check it out. If you're a podcaster or content creator, you want to distribute your stuff, go to CaptivateFM.com. They'll go ahead and give you 7 free days off the bat. But I'll tell you what, if you go to my Quite the Thing Media page, quitethethingmedia.com/podcastfather, there at the bottom, you'll find an affiliate link. You can get 30 days of Captivate FM free. Why wouldn't you check it out? Captivate FM. This podcast is sponsored by Good Pods, my great friends at Good Pods. This is an amazing app, guys. You get on there, you see what podcast your friends and influencers are listening to. Download the Good Pods app. All the music on this podcast is from the artist Young Karts. Young Carts. He's a great independent artist. You got to check out all the work. Go to the site, youngcartsbeats.com. If you want to contact me, you can find me on Twitter at podcast_father, or the podcast actually has an account too, at indie_podcaster. Or good old-fashioned email, always great too, thepodcastfather@gmail.com. You want to support this podcast? One great way you can do for me is you can go onto your favorite podcast listening platform, may that be an Apple or Good Pods, and give me a rating. Throw me a 5-star. Type some nice things to me. If you don't even want to type, don't worry about it. Just throw me some stars. Any feedback is appreciated. I really do appreciate it. If you want to get real crazy and support me, you can always buy me a coffee. Check it out on my Quite the Thing media page. That's enough for the business. Let's get to the view. I'm very excited to have this guest on today. He is That British Podcast Guy, CEO and co-founder of Captive FM. He's involved with Rebel Base Media. He is the creator of the Podcast Accelerator, which is a great podcast. He is also the most interesting man in the world. Mark Asquith, how you doing, man?
I am absolutely the most interesting man in the world. That is without a shadow of a doubt. So I'm good, thanks, dude. How are you?
That's a pretty good intro. I don't think I could top that if I tried again.
I have to admit, I wondered if you'd scripted that. And I was like thinking to myself, if you did script that, where did that come from? Because if anyone's followed my Twitter feed, you will know that I am clearly not the most interesting person in the world. Props on that one, dude. I'm going to try and steal that.
It was like the cherry on top. You know, I had to find one more thing to all your credentials to add. No, man, thanks again. Yeah, for coming on today. I can't wait to talk about your past, your career, and a lot of things you're involved in.
It's a pleasure, Neil. Thanks for having me on, man.
So I gave the rundown of everything you're involved in, but how did it start for you? I mean, I don't know if it was podcasting exactly. I myself used to do some audio, more or less internet radio back in the day, but how did this all start for you?
You know, I've never thought about it in that context. What's weird is like I dropped out of college when I was about 17 because I was just like a skint kid and just didn't like I never really saw any path to doing anything from college. And I was studying music. And what's weird is that in my school days, I was I said that I wanted to go on work experience to a graphic design company. So these are related. I'll get to it. And what happened was when I went to my school work experience, the company dropped out at the last minute. They had an illness and they couldn't take on a work experience person. So I ended up going with my dad. He was an electrician, completely different. So that was me like, you know, I don't know why, but I wanted to go to a graphic design workplace in my school years that never worked out. I also was into like audio and music. So I did music tech and audio tech at college. And then dropped out because I couldn't see a career path in it. What's ironic is that like fast forward 10 years, I owned a design agency, even though I'm not a graphic designer. And now I work in audio and podcasting, even though I dropped out of music tech and audio tech college. So it's sort of weird how things happen. But I don't know, it was sort of just, I just sort of gravitated towards it, you know, in terms of doing like digital stuff. And then when we got into podcasting in about 2013 or maybe even 2012, I just really enjoyed doing it. And I've just since, you know, with Kieran and I, we've just been building stuff in podcasting since then, really. So I honestly, I'm not sure how I ended up in it other than I really enjoyed listening to podcasts. And then I created a comics podcast years ago just to talk about comics. And then it sort of spiraled from there.
That's awesome. Was it even called podcasting in 2012? When did that term actually come into play? I'm trying to remember myself. It hasn't been around forever.
No, it was actually about 2005. It was because obviously pod and cast, you know, they come from broadcast and whatever. And then pod comes from the iPod, of course. It was about 2005 when RSS 2.0 came out and you know, RSS feeds could be generated reliably without hand coding your own XML. So yeah, about 2005.
Yes. Before that, when I had started, the bandwidth and all that had to be purchased. I mean, it was a whole ordeal to get involved in it. And it wasn't necessarily called podcasting, but you were just kind of radio rejects then is what I got called. But it's amazing how it's grown.
Yeah, that's true, man. I suppose back then it was like internet radio. I mean, I'm not a podcast historian. I know people like Todd at Blueberry, he'd have, you know, he'd been shock checking on the floor hearing me talk about this. You know, he's the historian, but yeah, it's weird, isn't it? How you know these things develop and become commoditized, and then become, you know, turn into sort of services, and then turn into products, and it's weird how things develop and change, you know.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like I said, you would catch a lot of shit back then because you weren't good enough to be on the actual radio. And oh my, how the tables have turned, my friend.
Oh, screw those guys, man. We're having the last laugh, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. Look at that. Yeah. And I mean, I still have appreciation for the radio, obviously. It's not quite what it once was, but it definitely is a little bit different than podcasting, obviously, but it has some of the basic fundamentals. Talk to me more about, so you got involved in the comic. You talked about that podcast. What came next? When did you really get into the business side of this? Because you're a part of a lot of things now.
Yeah, so that happened pretty quickly. So I started podcasting about comics and stuff. I was looking for a side project as I was sort of running my agency, and so I set this comics blog up with Gary, who's actually our head of design now at Captivate, and we just shot the shit and just had a good time doing it. And then I started doing a business podcast. I can't remember what year it was. I was running the design agency at the beginning of the year. I'd set myself a resolution, if you like, or a challenge at least, to have at least one more decent, profitable business by the end of that year. And so I created this podcast, this business podcast, way back in 2014, I think. And almost instantly after that, I realized that I had to like link all this podcast up to my website. And it was a total pain in the ass. So I went into work one day. Obviously, I had the agency, the digital agency and design agency, and Kieran, who sat next to me now, actually. I just said to him, look, I got this idea for a managed WordPress platform, which we still run to this day. Do you want to build it with me? We'll partner with John on an affiliate, John at Entrepreneur on Fire, on an affiliate program, because he's got a lot of traffic in podcasting. And we'll just see if a product sticks. You know, we'll just see if we can build podcastwebsites.com, which we did, turned into a business, the world's first managed WordPress platform for podcasters. Still, you know, the prime thing that people use for their WordPress management in podcasting. And that's how it started, the business side of it. It was fairly immediate. You know, I was in podcasting for about 2 minutes before I started a business in it, which was fascinating. And I've been doing it ever since. You know, We've created Productivity, we've created Captivate, we've created all sorts of other things. We've got a podcast studio now. I mean, granted, with COVID, you know, no one uses it. It's only us, but it's still a studio, and we've got it. So yeah, it sort of spiraled after about 2014.
Yeah, that's awesome. You kind of like, I consider you a guru, I'll be honest. And it was really cool when I had heard of you, obviously. I haven't been on social media that long, but I had heard of you. And I'd heard of Captivate, you know, Jack Schaloff, Quite a Thing Media, would always plug that. And I was like, yeah, I definitely want to get on there and be a part of that. But then actually you added me to the podcast industry list. And I was like, oh my gosh, how does he even know who I am? It was a pretty cool thing, man. I'm not going to lie.
Well, it's you know, it's one of those things I sort of, like I'm a fairly outspoken person. I've got a fair range of things that I've done. You know, I've built agencies. I've strategic sort of product marketing. Working on product experience. I've got a wide range of things. I've been in startup land. I've built tech businesses. We've done a range of things. So the reason that I say that is that when I got into podcasting, like I already came to it with a lot of outspoken ideas because I sort of had a lot of knowledge in other areas that could then be applied to podcasting. So, you know, I'd started my podcast like 2 minutes ago and I was already speaking at Podcast Movement in the very, 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 very early days with Jared and Dan. And it was, I don't know, it just felt natural to sort of bring this knowledge from other industries and sort of just continue to do that. You know, when I talk about podcasting, like on the podcast accelerator that you mentioned, I'm actually rarely talking about podcasting. Like I'm normally talking about other things that I've learned elsewhere or that I think from elsewhere that can then be applied to podcasting. So when there's people like yourself who are, you know, you are doing your thing and you spent your time building your subset of knowledge up and I've got my subset of knowledge, you know, it's a no-brainer to collaborate and to get you on the list and to really like showcase what other people are doing. Because none of us all know the answers. You know, I've not got all the answers. You've not got all the answers, but together we've got more answers than individually. So I think that's an important piece of the podcasting puzzle, especially because it's derived from this open ecosystem. You know, sure, it's a bit more commercial now and, you know, continues to fragment in that regard. But I think, you know, primarily it's an open ecosystem. So it's all about helping each other, which is, you know, why people like yourself doing great work, you know, why shouldn't you be on the podcast industry list on Twitter? You know, so it's, I don't like to see it as that sort of hierarchical thing. Like we're all doing great work, you know?
Yeah, no, I think the big thing to me was it just shows you never know who's watching. And the fact that you even had somehow come across me was just crazy. But it's a, like I said, to my point, you never know. And it's really hard to define the work that you're putting in, but people do realize it and appreciate it, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I get that, man. And I think that's a lesson in business as well. Like, don't be a dick. You know, like you aren't a dick and I'm not a dick. And the people that are dicks, you know, it does always come back to bite you. Like you can never burn your bridges. You can never act up at someone. You can never act out at someone, you know, because, you know, being disrespectful and not doing the right type of work, it inevitably gets noticed, you know? And I think you're absolutely right. Like good work gets noticed as well. And I think if you just maintain that stance of wanting to do good work, you really can't go that far wrong.
Oh, absolutely. As I'm starting this journey, this second journey in my podcast life here, or really just first with the term podcast, but I really wanted to highlight the what creators are doing, all different kinds of creators. And it's been an honor the last couple of weeks, all the different types of people as far as career paths I've got to talk to. But your big thing standing out right now and what you're doing is obviously Captivate FM. And you're a big innovation guy. How important from you, not only from a business standpoint is innovation, but more or less from a creator standpoint, because we all started out as creators before we implemented the business aspect fully.
Yeah, that's important to understand as well, you know, is that we are for the most part creators, just creating the thing that we like creating. And I think that's, you know, a lot of people say that, you know, we won an innovation award like last week or whatever it was, we Captivate. Mm-hmm. I was like, how have we done that? You know, I don't really see us as innovators, even though we are, and it gets recognized. To me, it's just, we're just creating things that we would use, you know, a lot of the features that we create with Captivate, like we did our 2.0 and we released the short links functionality. Like that's been in my head from, I don't know, like 2014. And, you know, but we've had to build other stuff to get to the point where we can build that. And so for me, it's about scratching our own itches. You know, it's something that I'd like would be a very specific feature that we'll build into Captivate and, you know, something that Gaz likes or that Kieran would think would be a great idea. So I think it's a funny one because you sort of, I don't think you ever forget that you're creating something because you're just so busy creating it that you sort of innovate by accident, just by being pretty inquisitive and curious. You know, it's funny when you see a lot of the blue chip companies or a lot of the old style companies, you know, they're always saying that they're innovative because they want to be seen as innovative, whereas the people that are genuinely innovating are just too busy innovating and actually doing good work to worry about it. So I think that's a really interesting perspective, is that to us, we're not innovators. We're just, you know, every day we're just building the thing that we build. You know, it's work. It's the job. So yeah, it's a funny one that it's funny. It's like being called an entrepreneur. Like people have called me entrepreneur. I'm like, I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm just a person that builds these things, you know, and so is Kieran. You know, it's not, we don't set out to achieve the label. So, and I think innovation is a similar sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It comes natural and it has to be organic and natural to work, I think, my opinion.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think if you see it in the entrepreneurial space a lot, you know, people chasing the tag and wanting to be the entrepreneur, but not really knowing what they want to be entrepreneurial in because they don't have an idea, they don't have anything, you know. So the people that are then described as entrepreneurs are just naturally doing it because they're inquisitive about the thing that they like doing. They're not setting out to achieve anything other than, wouldn't it be cool if this happened? And if, you know, if I make some money, all well and good. So you're right, it has to be a natural fit. But you can't force it, because if you force innovation, if you force entrepreneurship, like you get bored of it because it's a job. You know, you got to love it.
Agreed, 100%. Kind of with, I don't want to say my gimmick right now, but the whole podcast father thing, I have a lot of people that reach out to me and ask questions. Maybe I'm not like the best person to ask some great detailed podcast questions to, but an example would be one guy's been messaging me DM on Twitter. he is involved with a church, a pastor there, and he wants to get into podcasting. And he asked me from a hosting platform distribution piece, like, do you have any ideas what I should do? I don't really want to do Anchor. I want to do something more personable. And I said, well, you know, I automatically suggested Captivate FM. And he's like, well, you haven't even launched your podcast yet. Or I'm like, no, not really. He's like, well, how can you refer it? I said, well, it's pretty simple to me. I think it's a lot of the tools you guys have and the hands-on approach you have. Great training for podcasters and great involvement directly from yourself and your entire team. I think that's what makes it special. Constantly getting emails on suggestions, improvements, just tips in general. And then you can also talk to you guys directly, which is incredible. And you're not going to get that with a lot of these big, I'm just going to call them monster companies, I'm not saying yours is by any means the smallest, but I think you get my point. You're still personable as a business.
Yeah, I think education and community is a big thing. You know, we've got our Captivate Growth Labs, which you know, is something that everyone gets access to as a Captivate podcaster. You know, we teach you the skills that no one told you that you needed to succeed, you know, SEO and how to pitch your sponsors and how to build your audience using Facebook ads and how to build your brand and repurpose and edit and, you know, build coaching programs and whatever, you know. So there's all this bit, these bits of education, all the masterminds that we do, the clinics that we do in the community, like the podcaster spotlights, you know, all that sort of stuff it's almost a no-brainer. Like, why wouldn't you do it? You know, if you are, you know, if you're building a software platform that's just to build a software platform, then you aren't going to have much success unless you do good work for people. And it's very, very, very easy to forget that. You know, it's easy to be focused on the tech and not focus on the people, because there's always someone else that might sign up. You know, it's easy to chase the new customers. But I don't think you can do that, you know, especially in podcasting. I mean, podcasting is a fairly small thing in terms of industry. You know, we all get together at Podcast Movement. We all get together at Podfest. You know, everyone is in the same places at the same time. So if you didn't do good work and help people, you know, it would come out in the wash. People would understand that, and they would see you for what you are, which is that if you're just after selling software, then eventually someone will understand that, and they will then, like you talked about with the referral, Jeff, you know, you if you weren't getting the service from us, you would tell people that, well, these guys are all right at hosting, but they're not very good at anything else. Like, you might be able to do better. But because of that focus on community and education and personality, it's a very different story. And I think businesses do well to remember that across the board, not just in podcasting. I think it's a universal truth.
I do want to get back to the community piece here in a little bit, but another great resource that you have, and I try to listen to every single episode, the Podcast Accelerator. It's awesome. It's short, it's sweet, it's to the point, and great advice in each and every episode.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's sort of me, you know, bringing that experience that I mentioned earlier on from different industries, from different facets of business and, you know, generally life, building products. You know, that's me bringing all of those things to bear with a podcasting angle, you know, and talking about how you might be able to think differently and approach differently and implement differently as a podcaster. So yeah, that's something that I do. You know, it comes out every Monday. That's the main episode. It's the long form one. And it is just a very, you know, simple set of things generally that you can do, but it's sort of shining a light on some of the things that you might forget as a creator because you're too busy creating. So I like to try and act as that, you know, a bit of a compass, if you like, you know, let's keep you moving in the right direction. But I do like it. You know, I enjoy doing that. The episodes are only 20 minutes, you know, maximum. And it's just fun content to do. I really do enjoy doing that show.
I think that it's, and like you said earlier, you actually mentioned it directly. These are things that you can apply to anything that you're doing as a person and in life. So it seems like to me, it's almost like your way of giving back. How important is that for you, that the giving back piece to the community?
Yeah, I think it's important to help where you can. You know, I do a lot of speaking. I do a lot of these kind of chats. I do a lot of event speaking. You know, Kieran and I travel the world speaking, you know, usually for free at podcasting events. You know, it's usually on our dime, you know, the Podcast Movement, the Podfest. You know, we've been all over and we've done it, you know, COVID notwithstanding, we're all over. And I think it's important from a, helping hand perspective. A lot of people get a little bit, like you see this with podcasters a lot, you know, they sort of feel like they've got too big to be doing stuff like that. And it's ridiculous. Like, you're just a podcaster, calm yourself down. You know, we do a lot of that giving back because, you know, we had to start somewhere. Someone helped us. You know, someone told us what we needed to know. Someone told us how not to do things. And I think it's a responsibility that when you've got knowledge, you should share it. And if it, you know, of course, it's going to benefit your business as well because you get seen as the expert. But that's just a pleasant byproduct of just being a decent person. And I think if you start out with that in mind, you can't go wrong with that. You know, if you're just helpful to people. And I think more people should think about that before they think about anything else.
I do want to take another second here to talk about the sponsor of this podcast, Good Pods. Like I mentioned earlier in the intro, you can see what podcasts your friends and influencers are listening to. This app is great, and the creators and team Good Pods are very serious about making you the greatest listening experience for a podcast, not only just the quality of the audio listening piece, but also the social aspect. This is a really awesome app. I can't suggest it enough. I'm very involved in there. They're very dedicated to podcasters, independent podcasters, and listeners. I have a couple groups on there you should go check out. The Indie Podcasters group, highlight indie podcasters, obviously. I've also recently created a true crime group. I'm a big true crime fan. You should join both of those groups. And every week, we do pick podcasts out of the Indie Podcasters group to highlight in the recommended section. But once again, I'll say it again, the Good Pods team is a great team of people. I can personally vouch for them, but they're also dedicated to making this app as good as possible. You can talk to them on social media directly. They will respond. They take all recommendations very serious. There's a great team at Good Pods. Make sure you download the Good Pods app and listen to your podcast there. Let's get back to the interview. Talk to me real quick about Rebel Base Media and how that comes into play and what all that is.
Yeah, Rebel Base Media is really a collective name for Kieran and I. You know, we have various ideas and some of them make it, some of them don't. It's really our vehicle to kick the tires on new ideas. You know, each platform that we've got is each of its own business. You know, each platform's its own business, so Captivate is its own business with its own team, and Kieran and I own it. And, you know, podcast websites is the same. Productivity is the same. And Rebel Base Media is sort of our collective name for, you know, just having ideas and kicking the tires on them, really. You know, if we want to enter a new industry, if Kieran and I decide to build software in another industry, we're Mark and Kieran from Rebel Base Media. But a lot of the time in podcasting, which is our, you know, that's where we are all the time. That's our full-time job. You know, we are Mark and Kieran from Captivate, because that's the product that we're there representing. So it's, yeah, Rebel Base Media is sort of a collection of ideas, I guess.
I'm obviously primarily involved in the Twitter scene. And as far as the, I'm not saying I coined the term, but involved in the term indie podcasts, independent podcasters, that community is really interesting to me. It's great, but it also has its clicks in it. You see a lot of interaction on there. Do you see a lot of the good and the bad, what I'm referring to maybe with being a little clicky?
Oh, I just call it out, mate. You know, I think, I don't think there's any reason to be clicky. And if I see, I call it out pretty much. You know, everyone is, what's the best way to phrase this? Those that are generally clicky are often out to build their own brand. You know, and let's just call that out and not pretend. There's nothing wrong with that. We're all here to build something, and that's cool, you know, but you don't have to put a wall up to do it, to try and control your own small sphere of influence. You know, it's better to be humble and engage with everyone and just give everyone the time of day. Because if you do that, you never know what's going to happen. You know, you and I are talking because of Twitter. If I'd have built a ClickUp or you built a ClickUp, we wouldn't be doing this. It'd be silly. So yeah, I do see that. For me, there are two types of people, generally speaking, in any industry. There are those that think they know and don't want to know anything else. And then there are those that know what they know and believe that they can always learn. And I think everyone should be the latter, because it's silly to be anything else. But sadly, you know, in any industry, there are the former, people that know what they know and don't want to know anything else and aren't open to new ideas. And the only way they can do anything is by shouting or by putting a wall up and forming clicks. And it's silly, man. You know, there's no need for that.
you actually give some great advice of how to utilize social media. And one of the things I see are the podcast recommendations. So I don't know if you're familiar with this, an individual asks for podcast recommendations, and right or wrong or indifferent, I'm not sharing my opinion at this exact moment, they may receive 50 to 100 self-promoting replies. Have you seen this?
Oh yeah, man. Big time. Well, this is back to people in podcasting getting a little bit arrogant. Like if you ask for a recommendation, like sure, expect to get as many replies as you would expect, you know, whatever that is. If you're a bigger podcaster, if you've got a bigger Twitter following, you will get more recommendations. It's a simple law of averages. But I don't get. And what if what you're inferring is what I'm understanding correctly, like the people that are producing the podcast beating down on the people that have asked for the recommendation, if that is the case, well, I think everyone's just got to calm down and stop being stupid then. You know, think about it. If I ask for recommendations, I expect recommendations. Yep. It's up to me to pass through them. And if I want to reply to them all, cool. If I don't, cool. No one's forcing my hat. No one's got a gun to my head to click the links, you know? And then the flip side of that, like if you're a creator, there's absolutely no point kicking off if someone says, I got too many recommendations. Like, just let it wash over you. Like, who cares? Just, there are other people in that thread who are seeing your podcast. And the person that has asked for the recommendations might not listen, but the 50 other Star Wars fans that have seen that might do. Like, what a waste of time on both counts. It's just that, I mean, that just seems nuts, mate. You know, it just seems nuts. I wouldn't have time for that. I'd just let that wash over me. I genuinely wouldn't even. It is what it is. You know, if people have got nothing else to do, then that's their problem. You know, I don't get that. I think it's crazy.
I'm not gonna lie. I did that just to get you a little fired up. I knew what your reply was gonna be. I just had to hear it.
People are nuts, dude. I think, like, you know, that's the thing. And this is the other thing on social media, like, you know. People get fired up for no reason. I really don't understand it. Maybe I used to do it when I was younger, I guess. I don't know.
So you think that sort of maturity comes with time, just like everything else?
Just the understanding of, you know, what matters and what really doesn't matter, you know? So what, you know, you got too many recommendations. That's cool. Long as, you know what I mean? Say it out loud. It sounds stupid. You know, at least you're healthy. You know, good. Well done. Let's put everything in context, you know?
Would like you to kind of mention a couple of the things I've read from you that how to actually maybe a more useful way to use social media.
Yeah, I think that the key with social is breaking down what those words are, you know, social and media. So treat it like that. You know, social is social, be there, engage, actually have conversations, start conversations, get involved, add a pile of conversations yourself. You know, don't just be there for the one click engagement, be there for a little bit more, make sure you have actual chats and get to know people. And then I think the media part of it is important. And what I mean by that is not just posting any media to social media because it is media, but I think understanding social media for what it is, which is a media form of its own. You know, you'll know that I put a lot of Twitter threads out because that's to me the best use of Twitter. I can have a meaningful dialogue with people via a thread of content in a format that is dedicated to that particular form of media. So what I'm talking about there is I'm not saying I'm going to repurpose this and just post it all on Twitter. What I'm saying is actually I'm writing a thread for Twitter that sure might link to something else or sure might paraphrase other content. But what I'm talking about is that I'm dedicating specific time and focus to creating content for that medium of Twitter. And I think if you just, you know, let's actually add a bit of meaning and sense to social media, the words, like I said, not just see it as this sort of anonymous place where you can just go out and just push information out into the world and expect people to consume it. You can't do that, you know? So that's the real key takeaways, social and media. Lean into each of those words independently. And I think you'll be surprised what good can happen from it.
It's understanding the concept at its core value almost. So I've been fortunate enough, I mean, obviously some networking skills and whatnot to come, and I'm just starting out on my journey again, like I said earlier, but I've been fortunate enough to meet you and a lot of other individuals that would take a long time to thank on here. What advice do you give to somebody as a creator, not on the business side necessarily at first, but just the creative side, just starting out? Because you're going to have your struggles. You're going to have to persevere. I mean, what advice do you have?
You've got to just create something that you enjoy creating. Otherwise, you're going to stop. And that's it. You know, it's that simple. If you stop, it's because you don't like it or you simply can't keep it up. And if you enjoy what you do, you will find a way to keep it up. That's it. It really is that simple. Anything else follows. You know, you get good through continual consistency. You know, competence is the first step, and then competence leads to confidence. And the only way to do that is to be consistent. So you have to do those things and be there all the time. Do, you know, whatever it is, blogging, YouTube, podcasting, it doesn't matter what it is, but you have to enjoy it, because if you don't, you know, it becomes a fad. It becomes something that you used to do and that you tried. And there's nothing wrong with that, but don't expect anything different if you're just forcing yourself to do something. Like, no one should get into podcasting because they think they should. They should get into podcasting because they want to. And it really is that clear and that simple. Because if you do love something, then you will stick it out no matter how hard it gets, because you just enjoy doing it. It's not about the end goal. The end goals come. You know, the opportunities come. Things will present themselves when you do get good at something. And the only way to get good at something, like I said, right back to the beginning, is to enjoy it. So that has to be the first thing that everyone needs to know.
The business part does not come natural for everybody, like yourself more than others, but that's not something you can just focus on at the very beginning when you're trying to construct this idea of what you want to create.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you don't know how you're going to make money when you're creating something like a podcast. You know, there are so many ways to do it. You don't know which of those ways you will end up doing. So just get good at creating something. And like I said, the only way to get good at it is to love doing it so that it doesn't feel like a chore. So yeah. You can take so many directions and so many paths, and opportunities, believe me, will present themselves.
The latest update, the 2.0, Captivate 2.0, it is amazing. You mentioned growth labs and things like that, but all the other things that you guys have introduced into this, and how long did it take you to kind of brainstorm and lay this out? I mean, it had to be a work in progress for quite a while.
10 weeks. Yeah, I mean, the ideas and everything, they've been around for years. You know, our roadmap is extensive, and it's all stuff that has been in our heads for years. You know, we've just needed to build one thing at a time, which is a very linear path. And because of the other stuff that we've got coming out, you know, a lot of the other features that we've got coming out, especially some of the bigger features, they really heartily required a new platform upgrade to accommodate some of them. And so we conceptualized it. Our head of design, Gaz, is very, very good. You know, we've got a fantastic team in support and marketing and development, engineering. And it was a very quick project, man. You know, I mean, Captivate 2.0 was about a 10-week project. Maybe a little bit more, maybe 12 weeks. But for a project of its size, like, that is insane. You know, it's so quick. We got it done so quick. And there wasn't really anything, touch wood, that went wrong. You know, there was no major bugs. There was nothing crazy. You know, I think Kieran made a few boo-boos. He's looking at me. Like, he forgot how to code. But no, I mean, in all seriousness, like, there was nothing major that went wrong. And it, you know, that's testament to the quality of the platform and the quality of the team. So, yeah, you know, a lot of other companies might have taken a few years to do that, but we got it done in, like I said, about 12 weeks, top end.
I assumed, I guess it was a, you know, half a year or something. 12 weeks, I can't even wrap my mind around that. That's incredible. Well done.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, we do move quickly. That's the benefit of being a pretty agile small team. You know, we're a team of 11, 12 people. We can get a lot of stuff done very, very quickly with a lot of focus. So yeah, and it's fun. It's fun to work on it as well. So it's never a chore.
You have that mom and pop theme of a business. And I think that is just awesome. And it makes it to where I can relate to you. Hell, I'm talking to you now. So how do you grow but not lose that sort of, I'm calling it, mom and pop personable theme? You talked about the community engagement. What other things do you think you do to make sure that you don't, because that's part of your strength?
Well, I think for us, it really is just about making sure that we keep the core values at heart, you know, keep the brand at the center of everything, which is help, educate, and just keep creating. You know, if we keep all those things and overlay that with the true value of just very honest, straight talking, transparency, and calling out the things that we don't agree with, you can scale that reasonably easily because, you know, the marketing tactics might change and you might scale things in a very specific channel. But the messaging remains the same, and the overlying approach to everything remains the same. And it really just comes down to understanding what you want to be working on every single day. You know, if you're working on something that you love doing and, you know, you work on it, if you work on creating a business that has got the values that you want in your own life anyway, like, you can't really go wrong with that one. So I don't think it's necessarily a problem scaling it. I think it's more about making sure that as you scale, you don't lose what you brought to the table.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't lose what's worked for you. So last question for you, I'll let you get back to your most interesting man in the world activities and the most busiest man in the world. So the future of podcasting, this is just a very general question. What do you see in the future for podcasting? A lot of people think it's kind of at its crossroads as far as what could be next for the industry.
I think it's just more fracturing between the big and the small. You know, people are creating, you know, really highly produced content for a variety of IP reasons. You know, they're becoming Netflix, they're becoming Amazon Prime Original, they're becoming YouTube Red or YouTube Premium. You know, they're becoming the media houses, and the independent creators will remain the YouTube style creators. You know, and I think that the difference between those two types of podcasting will just get wider and wider and wider and wider. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's just a thing. You know, no one says, well, I shouldn't create a YouTube channel because Netflix or the cinema exists, you know, and I think that is it's more of an inflection point. I don't think it's necessarily a crossroads as such, but I think it's more of a, you know, here is big media, big podcasting, and here is creator-focused, independent podcasting. And, you know, we've got a burgeoning and a nascent set of requirements for each that have to be met and have to be hit. And sometimes one thing will serve both audiences, and sometimes one thing will only serve one part of the podcasting audience. So I think that's where it's certainly headed, in my view. I think it's all about media and IP on one side and independent creator on the other.
Podcasting used to be really connected to, like you said, more of the independent indie scene. And the big changing point for the industry, which came, you know, several years ago now, was that big media getting involved and getting their hands into the pot. It's changed things a little bit. And it is a little bit more of a challenge to stay competitive.
Well, I think it's only competitive if you're trying to compete with them. You know, I'm not going to shoot a video on my GoPro mm-hmm. and then, you know, try and convince someone to pay me $5 a month for it when they're paying for Netflix. The point is that it continues to be about the only thing that it's always been about, which is finding the people that want to listen to your show. They've not gone away. In fact, there are more of them now than ever. You're right in that they've got more options when it comes to different sort of things. But let's be completely honest. You know, if I've got a Star Wars podcast, I'm probably not competing with Lore or, you know, the Star Wars original trilogy series that's on Apple Podcasts from the BBC. You know, what I'm doing is looking to complement that person's listening experience with what I'm producing, you know, because people don't just listen to one podcast, and they don't just, if you look at Edison, I think Tom said that people listen or they subscribe to at least 7 podcasts, or on average 7 podcasts. That's not always the same 7. So I don't think it really is about competing. I think it's just about making your own noise in your own circles and just building the circles out.
No, I agree with you 100%, and that's kind of why I started this journey. It's about believing in what you're doing and finding the people that have the similar interest. Because if you do get caught up in competing, and that's very discouraging, first of all, to you as a creator. It is not a good business strategy by any means, but longevity would be an extreme challenge at that point.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree completely. Yeah, you couldn't sustain it.
Man, I'm going to let you go. I could obviously talk to you all day and we'll catch up one day, but I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today.
Oh, not at all. No, thank you, man. Really, really appreciate it. It's good to chat, you know, hope to do it again. I'm always around to help you, dude. So yeah, of course. Yeah. Thank you so much.
I'll give you a second just to tell everybody where to go find you. I mean, I could do it myself, but you are the British podcast guy.
Well, allegedly. Yes, I am, sir. Yeah, let's chat on Twitter. That's my place of choice. So just mark.live/Twitter. That's mark.live/Twitter.
And you will interact, and you were very helpful. I can't suggest it to people enough. Yep. Thank you, Mark.
I am around. No, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that.
All right. We'll talk soon.
really do appreciate you listening to this episode and checking it out. I hope you continue to do so with the next. I hope you have an appreciation for what I'm trying to do here. Highlight all the different things, all sorts of different creators are doing. I hope you get behind me on that and continue to join me on my journey. I'm Podcast Father, the Indie Podcaster. See you next time.